Now joining us, friend of the show, he is Canucks reporter Irfan Ghaffar. What's going on, Irf?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Pretty good. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Eddie Lack had some choice words for you.
I'm sure he did. Eddie and I go way back.
Apparently. Here's what Eddie Lack had to say about you earlier on the show today, Irf. Do you have any nice things to say about Irf?
Not really. I mean, Irf is kind of like, and now I'm married, so it's way different. But, like, you know, when you're 22 and you're out at the bar, right? Like, Irf is kind of that like, girl that you try to pick up around 2, 3 in the morning. Like, he is, like, the last line. Like, when everything else strikes out, Irf is always there. And it's the same with, like, when he used to interview me and everything. It's like, when stuff gets boring, like, you can always count on Irf to throw in a stupid question by the end.
It was pretty rough. I mean, Eddie didn't pull any punches.
I mean, well, last resort's better than no resort. That's the first one. I'll still take a day. That's still a dub in my book, so I'm fine with that. There's no such thing as a stupid question, only a stupid answer, and Eddie should know that. I've definitely had a lot of those from him, so.
Fair enough. Shots fired back. I like it. So we've kind of been talking a lot about the Canucks cap situation because I kind of find it funny that Canucks Twitter just rehashes the same old arguments over and over and over and over and over again. But we knew that this was going to be a flat cap or maybe worse for months now. So the uproar over the Canucks cap situation and where it's headed, I've kind of already dealt with it internally to the point where why are we still freaking out about this? We need to move on to different things.
Yeah, but I mean, it's something that, you know, it's easy for something to talk about. And it's one of those things where, you know, you go on social media and you can pick at things left, right, and center. And this is just one of the things that, you know, like you said, Dan, that we just knew was going to happen. We've known this for quite some time. We knew it was going to be a flat cap, like you said. But, I mean, look, the Canucks aren't the only team that are going to be in trouble here. Like, Jim Benning and his staff are going to have a tough job, but so are a lot of other GMs around the league. Like, if you look at teams that have young guys that, you know, have to give them some big contracts here coming up soon, the Canucks aren't the only ones that, you know, are going to be in tough. I heard you mention Seattle and talk about Seattle a little bit with the expansion draft and stuff like that. I bet you Ron Francis and his team right now are licking their chops, just waiting to see what's going to happen with some of these things over the next year, over the course of the next little while here. So, yes, it does suck for the Canucks, and they're going to have to get creative, and Jim Benning and his team are going to have to find out ways and figure out ways to be able to, you know, pay guys like Elias Pettersson, like Quinn Hughes, you know, and other young guys that they have. But I do believe that, you know, other GMs and other teams also still have that problem too.
And it is going to lead to some tough decisions for this management group. And, you know, we look no further than this upcoming offseason. Jacob Markstrom, Tyler Toffoli, Chris Tanev, Troy Stetcher, Jake Virtanen, Tyler Mott, just to name a few. Which decision do you think will be the most difficult for this management group in terms of trying to balance the fact that Pettersson and Hughes are still on their entry-level deals, so they want to be competitive right now, but they can't hamstring themselves to the point that they can't afford to re-sign those guys either?
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think that, you know, when you look at guys like Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, and I don't even want to use this term bridge deal, but, you know, it's might be something that the Canucks are going to have to take into consideration here. And yeah, you want them here long-term and you want to get them locked up and you know, you want to believe that these guys are going to be Canucks for the entirety of their careers. But are they willing to go that route? Are their agents and their camps willing to go the maybe couple of years and then we'll pay you a lot more down the road? So it's one of those things where you're going to have to look at it. It's the same kind of thing with Brock Besser. There was a lot of people that thought that, you know, it was going to be a long-term deal for Besser in the very beginning, and in the end, it really wasn't. So this is the way the league is kind of going right now with contracts for a lot of these young players. It's gone to the days of maybe the 7 or 8 year deal, and it's now between 3 and 5, and it's up to the players and it's up to the team to be able to get creative and make that happen.
I think if you're an agent, you're probably giving bad advice to your player if you're saying, like, let's go for the full 8 years right now. Like, we don't know where the cap's going to be in a couple of years. I mean, we're all hopeful that things are going to bounce back in a couple of years, but I think a lot of guys, and Chris Johnson mentioned this to us yesterday, but a lot of these elite level players are probably going to sign contracts like the ones we saw for Matthew Tkachuk and Braden Point, you know, 3 years, about $7 million, and you're a year or two out from free agency after that, and that's when you're going to hit your major money contract.
Exactly.
If you're a player, that's the way you maximize your career earnings, in my eyes.
Oh, absolutely. And in the final year of that 3 years, your cap is at what, 7.5 or close to that. So you're not going to get any less than that in your next contract, right? So I think that that's one of the things that is starting to happen. And it just goes to show you that a lot of these guys and these young guys are educating themselves more on what their peers are doing. And I think that's it. It's probably a good thing because, you know, when you look at what the agent's going to say, you know, he's going to say that maybe let's go for a long-term deal. But these guys are saying, no, well, can we get way more money here? Maybe just signing a short-term deal and then see what happens. Because a lot of these guys have enough skill that, you know, you can bet in year 3 or 4 of a deal, that's when they're going to hit their prime.
What are your thoughts on Chris Tanev and how the Canucks should approach that situation in the offseason? Because, you know, certainly he's a player who is probably past his best before date now, but still has years left in him. He's been injured a lot, as we all know. The Canucks need someone to be able to play the right side in their top four along with Tyler Myers. But if they move away from Chris Tanev, I'm not sure if they'll have the cap space or the flexibility to be able to fill that hole that he would leave on their back end. And, you know, we're talking about bridge deals in the context of guys like Pettersson and Hughes and young players. It seems to me that the Canucks could potentially bring Chris Tanev back on a bridge deal as well and kick that decision down the road a couple of years here.
Well, I mean, yeah, you basically said it right there, Batch. I mean, do they have the cap space? Do they have the flexibility to have a top four right-handed defenseman to go with Myers? And do they have someone right now in their organization that they trust that, you know, can play alongside Quinn Hughes? And, you know, Chris Tanev has said it multiple times, you know, loves being here, Vancouver's home, you know, loves playing in the city, wants to grow with this team. He's much like a guy like Jacob Markstrom has said all the right things. But, you know, Tanev's a guy that, yeah, you're right, he hasn't played. He's always, you know, he's always had an injury almost every year. He's never played a full season. He plays the style of game where, you know, you're not going to change it. Chris Tanev is going to block shots. You know, he's going to put himself in the way to try and, you know, not let the puck go in the net. That's just the way he plays. And I think, to Chris Tanev's credit, that's what's got him this far in his career. But it's also a point now where teams look at it and might be like, okay, well, this guy's probably not going to play at least 12 to 15 games in a season. But for the Vancouver Canucks, is he a guy that they need to play with Quinn Hughes? And I believe the answer is yes, I do. I think that, you know, he's a guy that does come back. And I agree with you, Batch. It could be on one of those short-term deals because, you know, he's a guy that's pretty low-key. Like, you know, I think we've all had discussions with Chris Tanev. You know, he's a guy that just wants to go out and play hockey every single day, you know, have his best game and try not to get hurt. So I think that, you know, if he's a guy that you're going at about maybe one of those shorter bridge type of deals, that, you know, I might lean towards him saying yeah and accepting it and just staying in Vancouver if they can make the numbers work.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard part because, right? I do think, like, as much as we have the debate here in Vancouver, I still think there's going to be some pretty intriguing offers. If he explores free agency, I think it's going to be hard for the Canucks to match the best offer out there for Chris Tanev. I'll put it that way. Because you look at even just the Anton Strahlman deal that happened just last year, and again, that was an $81.5 million cap. You know, Chris Tanev is a similar player to that. Stay-at-home defenseman, right shot guy, all those factors are going to play in here where a team's going to say, oh, we'll take him on a two-year, $10 million deal. And I don't know if the Canucks want to entertain something like that with that kind of a price.
Yeah, especially since they have Edler for another yeah. $6 million. Like, you know, are you playing a guy like Alex Edler, you know, and Chris Tanev upwards of up to $11 million for two defensemen when you're going to have to pay, you know, Quinn Hughes eventually at some point? You're already paying Tyler Myers a bunch of money as well. So, I mean, like I said, it's fun for us to talk about it. People get worked up about it a lot, but right now it's really the only thing to talk about at this point, I guess. Like, I mean, what else are you going to say? I can only rip yeah. Eddie so much.
That's very true. Well, Jake Virtanen's also been you know, talked a lot about on Twitter for a lot of the wrong reasons lately. Chris Tanev even answered some of those questions today about Jake Virtanen and his extracurriculars around the city. But it's look, the conversation with Jake has long been the same as well, in that the Canucks are going to have a decision to make. Now it's even more prevalent with the way that the salary cap situation is. Jake's a player that has increased his value probably around the league with the season that he's had and the 18 goals that he scored this season. I mean, do you see Jake as a prime candidate to get traded? Or is this a guy that you think Canucks management should keep around and see where he continues to develop to?
I think, well, here's my thing about a Jake Virtanen thing. I think that he's got enough upside that if the Canucks do trade him, what they're getting in return, they better hope is better than Jake Virtanen is going to be, because he's a guy that they could lose that trade very easily. You know, he's a guy with a lot of upside, big body, and when he's out there and gets it and he's on, he's without a doubt one of their better players on the ice. But it's just keeping that consistency. So, you know, look, Jake's got 18 goals this year, a couple more away from 20. You know, he's motivated to go and get that here when the NHL returns to play, and that changes the conversation a lot too, because he's now a 20 goal scorer. How much do 20 goal scorers get paid? We've seen in the past a lot of money, right? So. And I mean, he wants to be here. I do know the coaching staff and management. They do like Jake Virtanen a lot. You know, the stuff away from the rink and what have you, and what you see on social media. I mean, it's just learning how to be a professional. And yeah, someone's going to come on my Twitter and say he's been 5 or 6 years now. How long does it take for him to be a pro? But it goes with learning, man. It really does. Jake Virtanen's from Vancouver. He's in this market. He's going to get scrutinized no matter what. He's in a different market, that's something like that? Probably not. So I just think that, you know, if we're talking about him, Jake Virtanen, as a hockey player, I think there's a lot of upside there. I also think that, you know, it takes a little bit longer for some guys to develop on what it is to be a professional. And he's a guy that I strongly believe will get it.
We were talking about this earlier, Irf, the fact that Jake probably has more to gain from a good play-in round and playoffs than most other guys on this team, just because, you know, his contract's up. And then a large part of the conversation around Jake Virtanen has been, oh, just wait till he gets in the playoffs. He's going to be a beast in the playoffs. He's going to take his game to another level. Well, now he's going to have a chance to showcase that. And, you know, if he's able to come in and have a great playoffs, then that could potentially increase his trade value even more. But at the same time, that's a double-edged sword, because it could also make you think about whether you want to keep this guy and whether he could have a role further up the lineup in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. It's a big playoffs for a guy like Jake. And you know, people want to see what he's like when every single game matters. Now, I'm not saying they all don't matter during the regular season, but it's a little bit different when you get into the postseason, when you're in elimination stages, when you're, you know, down a couple goals here in the third period and your coach looks down the lineup and see who he's going to put there. Does he want to be a guy that is dependent on by Travis Green? He absolutely does. And I think that they've had those conversations as well, where, you know, when you're looking at yourself in the postseason, what type of player are you? Are you the type that's, you know, going to be the inconsistent one that we've kind of seen a little bit? Or are you going to be the Jake Virtanen that when we see him, we go, holy crap, there's a reason why the Vancouver Canucks drafted him so high, and this is why we should keep him. And I do believe it's there. And I think that, you know, we in the media, when we watch him play and we see those glimpses, it's there, and it's just that we don't see it often enough. And I think that, you know, the time away, I think, kind of helped them a little bit as well, you know, during this quarantine and everything that's going on. I mean, you know, he's training a lot different now and all sorts of things. So I'm excited to see what happens there, but I'm also, you know, excited to see what guys like Brock Besser, you know, are able to come back and do. And you know, a guy like Quinn Hughes is saying, you know, he's never felt better. And Chris Tanev's had rest, and you know, even a guy like Alex Edler. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but, you know, I'm excited for it for sure.
There really isn't a bigger X factor than Michael Ferlin, though, right?
Like, yeah.
Who knows what he's – if he plays, I guess that's still very much up in the air, but, I mean, this is exactly why Jim Benning signed him to that contract last summer.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about Michael Ferlin, I think if we're going to look at it from a playing standpoint, is not if he plays, it's what Michael Ferlin are you going to get when he plays? Does yeah. he go on the ice and kind of not play his game? You know, and we even talked about a guy like Sven Berchi when he came back. You know, was he a little bit timid? Was he a little bit, you know, scared to go into the corners because of everything that he experienced and stuff like that? So you look at a guy like Michael Ferlin, and especially with his history, but the way he plays the game was the reason why the Vancouver Canucks went out and got him. So what type of Michael Ferlin are you get is the biggest question mark for me, but I do agree with you. He could be a very, very large X factor here come postseason.
Irf, we appreciate yep. the time as always, man. We'll make sure Eddie yep. doesn't throw that much slander next time.
It's like, he's got ammo. I mean, yes, some of it can't be said, but I mean, hey, buddy, it's the same thing here.
it goes both ways.
It definitely does. So I'm sure it'll be we'll get on us for one day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. Thanks, Irf.
All right, boys. Thanks, stay Irf. Safe. Be well.